Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Litwits, halfwits, dimwits.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Any thug can kill. I want you to take your ego out of the equation.
Thug life.
Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Oh, hell yeah. They got robbers, thugs, drug dealers, right, you name it.
You think you got any thug in you?
It's unfair to say that I printed it out. I had a list on my computer and didn't print it.
I see.
So, but I mean, I thought we're going to be lousy with these. There's going to be a mountain of Italian gangster films. There really aren't.
Not really.
Yeah. There's only a couple. It's just the ones that exist happen to be so huge. Hi, everyone. I'm Jim. He's Clarkson. We're the Film Thugs. Wow, that was nice. And ever so loud.
That was loud.
Yeah. God, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of mob-related films that don't qualify as mob films.
Yeah, yeah.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's totally what
say
I picked up on.
Say Anything. That's say anything. One of them.
Yeah, that's... that. You're right. That touches on it, man.
What the fuck is it called? Analyze This. That rhymes.
Yeah, yeah. They're basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And they are in... In spirit, they're the same movie, you know?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, dude, I fucking... For those who saw on Facebook, I told Clarkson this. I was building a desk yesterday, and part just folded and ripped the bolts out, like destroyed half the desk. So I'm just... God, I was so angry. Oh, so mad. It's just so fucking terrible.
It's like putting together an IKEA desk.
Yeah.
It's although, just obnoxious.
Dude, I put together an IKEA dresser in the closet. Bad idea, but... It was done there, perfect. A little, like, get the $20 Black & Decker electric screwdriver.
Oh, yes.
Dude, I literally had the fucking dresser together in 35 minutes.
I did not. I had the old English way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
That was frustrating.
I even went so far, when I was there, they have the, here's a tool kit for IKEA stuff, and it had the connectors for the top of the electric screwdriver. And I'm like, fuck yeah, got it. Because I'm like, this way, even if it has that weird hex head, I'm going to just... And it's done. True. Bow. Bow. Nice. Oh, dude. Remember those? Remember that? Da-da, you've got mail.
Oh, yes. Jesus. I have a flying toaster.
Oh, awesome. I remember after dark when the first computer that I got, it was so funny how little I knew about computers back then. The first real computer, not the Apple computer that we used,
right?
But my sister somehow got hold of a virus scan, like an old one, and I would run it on my computer every once in a while because I didn't understand how computer viruses worked. I never ran in. Literally, it's just a computer that is plugged into the wall. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh goodness, I might get a virus from electricity.
No.
Yeah.
You could try.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably isn't going to work.
The old After Dark screensaver. When they didn't have a built-in screensaver with the operating system, you had to get one separate from it. Back when that mattered, because like with fucking these flat panel motherfuckers, they're not as much a problem.
No, not at all.
God. Speaking of, I'm actually going to buy a wall mount for the TV that's going to be in the office. And I'm debating, do I want to pay them the money to install it, or do I just want to fucking do it myself? And I'm thinking...
Oh, no.
Might just have to do it myself. Yeah. I might. Just because the heaviest thing I ever installed, I installed a heavy bag once, which was a lot of goddamn work.
Yeah.
That was not easy at all.
No.
So, yeah. I figure if I could do that, I can do this. All will be well.
Speaking of heavy bags, I just runt my back.
What'd you do?
Somehow, I don't know. I have climbing down a form, jumping off a form.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Filing?
Probably. Yeah, nope.
No.
Not the greatest idea, I guess, when you're rounding the corner to 40 to just jump around and climb on forms like so many trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're 8.
Mm-hmm.
to give you an idea.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I can't sit for longer than half an hour driving or whatever.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, well, that's it. Muscle relaxers. Mm-hmm. And I'll start watching Hannibal.
Ah.
Hannibal on muscle relaxers.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Whoa.
How far into it are you?
I am episode 7, first season.
It's fucking good, isn't it?
With the yes, it is.
Yeah.
It does a lot. Will's empathic crime recreations are what Frank Black's character should have done in Millennium.
Yes.
Instead, later on, you learn that that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just recreating and becoming the criminal, becoming what he calls darkness to see the darkness, whatever.
Right.
In this one, it's a lot fancier.
Oh, yeah.
But it would have helped if you would have gotten that Millennium, because later on, the beginning of the series, people thought he had powers.
Right.
To figure out the stuff. And then they kind of blurred those lines where, well, maybe he's kind of psychic and maybe he isn't. We're not going to give you an answer because that way we have more to do with things when we write ourselves into a corner.
Right, right.
And conspiracies. We need that.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So I really appreciate that. I think they shouldn't do it every episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think one episode they actually don't.
They don't. You don't get it for a while. Yeah.
And that's good. Because I could see that after a while. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is this our Hulk out moment for every show?
I'm just going to ask, is there a color wheel yet? Or is that...
No.
I think that's second. Okay, never mind then. Yeah.
No.
You'll love it when that hits. Because he's... The way he does it with a this is my design and that... I read a bunch of criminal profiling books because I was interested in it when I was in college. I was like, how the fuck do they do? What is the truth? I knew that what I was seeing in TVs and movies was bullshit. So I was like, what is it? And Thomas Harris has been really true with it, where it is not some magic shit.
No.
It is very basic. The best story from it is, I think it was the Green River Killer in California. John Douglas, who is the basis of... not Will Grab, but Jack Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
He the guy who's the basis for that. I've met him. I've been to readings that he's done. I've read most of his books. But he talked about going after the Green River Killer, and he goes through the whole profile with the cops in the area. He's like, "You're looking for a white male, this age, blah 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 blah." Rattles all this, and then he goes, "Oh, and the killer will have a speech impediment." And one of the detectives is like, "Bullshit! Sorry, what the fuck is that?" And he says, "Well." Based off the nature of the crime, you can tell that this is somebody who's felt separated and is an outcast somehow. So there's got to be something that's making him feel like an outcast. Reports from the area didn't say anything about a person with any sort of disfigurement, which would stand out. So we can kind of rule out any sort of facial deformity or anything like that. It can't be a palsy simply because of the amount of strength that's necessary for him to do this. So the only thing that's left then is... a problem that is somehow not visible right away until you get close enough. Here's where it gets to the creepiest thing you'll ever hear. They found the guy. He stuttered, like, profoundly.
Mm.
And the stutter went away when he talked about his killings. Which is like, okay, I'm not sleeping tonight. That's the, oh my God, that's the, But yeah, it's...
I eat that shit up, that kind of stuff up. And particularly when, you know, movies and TV shows.
Right.
Particularly, I don't like that, and I'm sure it gets worked out as the arc of the character is presented to us, but Will's so fucked up, and that he's so fucked up because of his gifts to do that.
It
has to work in later, so I know why it's doing it.
It does. It does.
I know that.
Yeah,
I know that looking at it straight ahead.
Right.
But, man, you're the guy that does that thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm one of the guys that does that thing.
Yeah.
I'm just better at it.
And how fucking great is Mads Mikkelsen?
What?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You have to separate, or at least I have to separate sometimes, the fact that, okay, he's playing an established villain in pop culture. This is you're going to be Darth Vader. Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
Then you're brought as a viewer with all this extra baggage that the actor can... A lesser actor will just lean on.
Right.
Say, well, I'm the big bad guy. I don't have to do anything but stand here.
Yeah.
But no one quite just stands there like Mads.
Yeah. And what's weird is for all of the creepiness, for all of the everything with it, he has, like, we have talked about Anthony Hopkins. I would not be alone in a room with that guy.
Right.
With Brian Cox. Yeah, I could say Mads, there is something soothing about him. even at his most intense, there's something that you look at him and you're like, yeah, you're, I kind of think I would trust you.
Right. Well, the fact that he's the psychiatrist and the crutch psychologically to all these characters,
yeah,
and whether it's professionally or not, gives everyone that ease around him, and also establishes he's the person you're at ease with.
Right. Yeah.
Audience, because look what all the ease he has.
Right. Yeah.
He's giving out. So that helps to build it up, because people are always asking him for comfort, essentially. Whether it be professional conversations about a killing or whatever.
Right.
And he dresses like a fucking champ.
He does. Everything about him is so fucking perfect. Yeah, everything. His office, his home, all of it.
It's all perfect.
And apparently he studied with chefs to get all... because, goddamn, when he's working that stuff, it's...
when he starts going through the Rolodex and matching it up with...
yeah, yeah.
with awful, that is just... that is fantastic.
Yeah, and when he gets going, it's just fucking profound. It's beautiful what he does.
I love that they take their time before they actually show him do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's really amazing, every time I watch an episode, there's one sentence that I repeat in my head over and over and over and over and over again. This is on NBC.
Boy, is it. This what? How the hell did they get away with some of that shit?
Every time I watch that show, I'm like,
scene?
Yes. Oh.
What?
When are you talking about the
no the families with when they had the runaways?
Yeah,
Molly Shannon.
Yes,
and all that. What the fuck? First of all, that episode not the strongest in the box, but Molly Shannon.
It wasn't aired in the U.S. It's only on the it's only on like Netflix on Hulu and shit like that.
Right.
It's only through that you can get it. What I love is that they establish his motive so early on with that first thing when they're on their way to get that guy and he just picks up the phone. Yeah, the FBI is on their way to get you.
Yeah, they know.
And why did he do it? Because he wanted to see what would happen. That is so fucking amazing. Because that, if you look at it, that is entirely what Hannibal does. And tell me, every time he gives someone food in that show, you're not like, oh.
Oh, every time?
When he showed up and brought breakfast for Will, it's like,
protein scramble to start the day. Eggs and sausage.
And his
finish your breakfast.
His brother is fucking fantastic too. And seeing them together,
my mind palace.
Seeing them together, it's like, you're fucking brothers, no question.
So excellent show. I hope it doesn't get bold. It's doing
it's
well.
Got another season.
Yeah,
it has at least. And the way that they're planning it is like the first. I think it's the first two because it's only season two that's out right now. The first two or three. The first two are pre Red Dragon.
Right.
The third deals with Red Dragon. Fourth season is supposed to be Silence of the Lambs. Fifth is Hannibal. And then there's like two after that that'll be original. So if they're able to pull off seven seasons, which...
at least they have a plan.
Yeah.
They're not going to lost this thing into who knows.
And that's, I think it's very clear, too, that they have a plan right off the bat. It's like, okay, they know where they're going. The way that everything's setting up, it's like... this is not talking out the ass nonsense. This is...
No.
We have a concept, and we're working with that.
With some of the episodes, like the one with Molly Shannon, you can kind of see the network formula. And I don't think it's the creator's fault, necessarily. You're like, well, what the hell?
Right, yeah.
They have something... there's not just a standalone episode.
Yeah.
There are building blocks within it to something else, clearly,
right.
But...
well, since it's a procedural, but it's not.
Right. You know? There's an ensemble cast.
Right.
With just some of them being, a few of those characters being, not necessarily iconic, but well-known.
Right. Dude,
I love Scott Thompson has a job.
Scott, and he's really good in that. What about, has Eddie Izzard shown up yet?
Oh, yes.
Eddie Izzard's fantastic in it. What do you think of the angle they took with Freddie Lowndes?
Oh, it's fine with me.
Yeah.
God, she's annoying.
Yeah, she really
just
is.
Just like Freddie Lowndes should be.
Yep. That's my problem, is Philip Seymour Hoffman never annoyed me as much as the guy from fucking Manhunter.
Well.
Okay, come on. Wait a minute. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I mean, I want to be home in time for my dinner.
Yes. They just take wildly different takes on each character. Will's very different from what I... read.
Yeah.
Lecter is very different from what I've read to a degree.
Yeah.
And of course, Freddie Lowndes, obviously very different. But
I think Crawford is the one that's hitting it.
I think
that's
about dead on.
Well, because Crawford for all of them he's the spine of the shit. He's the spine of that universe. He's the one that keeps all the shit together when it's falling apart. But I really like what they're doing with Graham.
He's the scope.
Yeah.
Will's the gun.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. Nice.
Or the bullet, perhaps. I don't know. One of the two. But right. Poor fucking Will, this Will in particular,
mm-hmm.
you want to get this thing all together before he goes flying apart.
Right.
You know.
Dude, wait until Vogel shows up.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. They just got to the incident in last week's show.
Oh.
It's, oh my God. And yeah, it happens. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That's a fucking great show, man. It's one that I
enjoy it.
I just, at first I was like, oh fuck, really?
Yeah, so was I.
Really? Yeah. We're doing this shit. And then one day, you know, Brian, my friend Brian from work is like, it's really good. So I was like, fuck it. Okay. I trust your taste. I'll give it a shot. And God damn, it is really fucking good. It's one I think everyone should check out.
It is good. Mm-hmm. I like this. I also like the full trailer for Interstellar.
I have not seen it. I am I'm doing my embargo for the last two Nolan films.
Two thumbs up.
Awesome. For Inception and Dark Knight Rises, I only saw the what's it called? The teaser trailer.
Hmm.
Well, so This is I'm psyched about because it's fucking Christopher Nolan. The cast is good. McConaughey's in that. I'm gonna do some shit phase of his career.
Yes, yes, he is.
Honestly, if he wins a goddamn, I think he should win an Emmy for True Detective. Because
everybody should win an Emmy for True Detective. Everyone involved with True Detective. If you catered, True Detective, you should win an Emmy.
Yeah, yeah. I will.
That
say,
was a. I wish I had seen Hannibal first.
Yeah.
Because True Detective is just, it's HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just that much better.
Well, what I like is the
because they have very different focuses. Hannibal's all about Hannibal and what Hannibal does, whereas True Detective is more about the study of these two guys within a thriller.
Right. Well, what I love about those two is how visually they're able to communicate the difference in location. And not like, well, of course, it looks different, but you look at True Detective and it's like, it's gritty, it's dirty, it's sweaty and hot all the time.
I know I've been to a place just like that,
mm-hmm.
Carcosa notwithstanding.
Right.
And know exactly the kind of people that populate those areas.
And what I will say too about True Detective is Woody Harrelson's little girlfriend, that he goes, oh my God, that, whoa. Buh, that's just, we're the same species as that. that gorgeous, perfect bodied, we are the same species.
But then
if you look at Hannibal, it's very cold, very sterile looking. It's got that, like just the way
the colors
shot,
are all very,
so rich.
Or very
dark hues.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yes. Oh,
than
yeah.
Than anything else.
Yeah.
Purposely.
Silence of the Lambs really did set the visual like style of that world.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Red Dragon, God, think about that for a second. Michael fucking Mann directed a movie from this series, and it's not the one that set the visual palette for it.
Well, Silence of the Lambs did. Michael Mann's going to do a Michael Mann film. That's what it's going to look like.
That's true. Yeah.
Whereas Silence of the Lambs made a bigger impact psychologically with the public at large, in my opinion. And it is prettier.
It really
it's
is.
Prettier.
Yeah.
It's a prettier looking film than Manhunter. But Manhunter, because it's not as pretty, it's more uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's more stark.
Uh-huh.
The prison looks like a fucking prison.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like a Nine Inch Nails set.
Yeah. And I will say, we are living in a world where that will be Lecter's prison.
Yes.
Yeah, that we are definitely in that world. And just the cool visual setups, you know, the cage, the room with the cage inside of it for, oh, never mind, you're not there yet.
No, I know what you're talking about, though.
Okay, yeah, it's a very cool visual. God, I can't wait for you to get caught up, because it really is fucking strong, but every episode, I guarantee you, every episode, you'll be like, this is on fucking
I do it already.
Network?
I can't believe that Angel's episode, how is this
on
television?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Uh-huh.
Damn it, Chris Carter, if you could just...
Yeah, if you could have just pulled your shit, or if you'd have focused it a little more right off the bat, because you need to have that.
That so much of season one of Millennium was so much like the show, where it was all more about Frank Black, and Frank and the killers, and his relation to them.
I still
and
remember John Hawks.
Out, man.
I remember John Hawks from the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
He was fantastic, and I still remember that it was John Hawks. I lost track of it when they got into that whole thing, the day of the greatest planetary alignment.
Oh yeah,
like I was like, oh, this is going to be one of the, because at the time there were serialized and episodic shows, and they were mostly episodic. Yes. Every once in a while, a serialized would slip in.
It was,
and that was at a time when you were like, oh, okay, I don't really want to watch a show that I have to watch every week.
Yeah, it's a lot like True Detective's use of all the symbolism and all that stuff,
uh-huh.
which was nice and little, uh-huh. but some people, I won't spoil it at the end, were like, well, oh, there'd be more hoobajoob. Yeah. No. It's reality.
Yeah, yeah.
These are just symbols. The fact that what he believes in isn't dangerous. It's the fact that he believes it.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of the characters, or every killer damn near in Millennium was like that. And they start just, and they just kind of sprinkled some millennial fear in there,
mm-hmm.
which made more sense in 1998, 99 than now, of course.
Oh, God, yeah.
But by the time the second season showed up with the conspiracy stuff, it turned your goddamn head around.
Yeah, yeah. That's really where
I have X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
I like that just fine. Yeah, but showrunners got changed. Writers were changed.
Mm-hmm.
Blah.
Unless a show sucks, a new showrunner coming on is never a good thing.
No.
And it's always just this sort of,
yeah.
Where the fuck is this going? Jesus.
But I enjoy so much.
But speaking of the badass stuff they're doing, Sherlock's got another season. Mm-hmm. I love how they announce it as if it's a surprise. All it should be is, I want to do another season. Because the BBC right now is like, you're going to do another fucking thing. That would be like if Stephen Moffat was like, yeah, I think I'm going to end Doctor Who. Cool. We're just going to go ahead and replace you as showrunner then.
Yeah.
You know, no, we need this. This is the cash cow for this fucker, because we might not get a lot of it out of the UK because, you know, BBC, I don't know how they do it there. But once it hits America with what they're able to fucking milk out of this country, because the UK, you've got like 1/5 of our population.
Right.
So, yeah, you're getting good. That's good. That's good. It's good.
That's good.
Good.
But here we will turn whatever cultural icon you have or we have into a koozie.
Oh, hell yeah.
And the koozie accessory for your other koozies.
Yes. Uh-huh.
A koozie hutch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have one.
Yeah.
I've got to assemble it later.
Keep it
today.
In your koozie sleeping bag.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I bought it down off 7th in the
koozie bag district.
Yeah, koozie bag district. Yeah. I mean, it's really, it's lovely. I think you'll like it a lot. But that's, we are good at that. Like, it was always so weird to me when I would look at, like, you know, get the Queen re-release album. It's like, it made it this high, but it only made it this high in the U.S. I'm like, dude, it's a number one in Britain. God damn, that's awesome. It's a number one in a country. And then you really start looking, it's like, no, if you want the big money, you have to break through over the, you'll do great over in the U.K. You'll do fantastic. But you break over in America, that's when the shit gets real.
There's a lot of people with money here.
Yes, yes. And nothing to do with it. Just...
Don't drop that duck, duck. Hey, don't drop that duck, duck.
He made $1 billion.
Yeah. That's a $1 billion song right there.
You know, we haven't mentioned... there's a Batman suit and a new Batmobile.
Yeah.
And there we go. We mentioned it.
Yep.
So...
Uh-huh.
Do you know the name of the movie?
What?
Yeah, originally my idea was to have the symbol.
Uh-huh.
Just the bat and this S. And
yeah.
You know, big over the screen. Everyone knows.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No. Batman versus Superman. The Dawn of Justice. That sounds like something in a movie about making a bad movie.
Yeah, it really does. The Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice. Really?
It sounds like Lorenzo Lamas should be in it. That's like a prequel to The Snake Eater.
The Dawn of Justice. And good at his job.
Renegade. I can never think of anything cheesy like that without thinking of watching Renegade at in the dorm. And Doug, this roommate, like, and he goes, are you watching Renegade starring Lorenzo Lamas? The Snake Eater.
I am.
Man, I miss watching cable at night and just stumbling across the stupid action movies. Not even the Skinamax ones, where it's shit like
stupid shit.
Desert Kickboxer. Even though technically speaking, that's on Netflix now. But there's
Bridge of Dragons.
There's something less organic about, I'm going to watch, you know, Kick Puncher, to quote Community.
Yeah, yeah.
And stumbling onto, what the fuck is this bizarre goddamn nonsense?
Right. He's like flipping past the channels and finding Laser Mission. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yes.
In Laser Mission's defense, it's just as good if you purposely watch it.
Yeah, we did.
It's fantastic.
We watched that on the Estrada Palooza night, didn't we?
I believe so.
It's Schweinhund.
Schweinhund.
Man.
Melting Men.
Yes. That is classic. For those who, to clarify, for my birthday once, my friend Dan got me not one, not two, but three Eric Estrada movies on DVD. It was the best. And one night I was just like, hey, I should bring these over. Here's these Eric Estrada movies. You want to watch three Eric Estrada movies? Well, that and a Brandon Lee movie with Ernest Borgnine. Well, yes. All right.
Yes.
Let's
yes.
make that happen. What's weird about Laser Mission, half the title is incorrect.
Yes.
There is definitely a mission.
Oh, for certain.
Not a whole lot happening with lasers.
No. Unless you call that young lady's knockers lasers.
No. No, they are not.
Oh, my.
No. She was all right.
It was like Naked Lunch. There are definitely two things wrong with that title.
Yes.
I never saw the movie because I've never given a fuck about that at all. Not even a little bit. Never gave a shit.
Did a paper on Burroughs in high school. Mm-hmm. So I read a bunch of his stuff.
Right.
Watched a bunch. And this was the crescendo of my Burroughs-ness. I should watch Naked Lunch. I believe this film goes better with heroin.
Yes, yes.
So then I drank some. It still didn't make any sense.
See, I'm a guy who, like, when it comes to my type of, like, cult fiction writer, blah, I'm more of a Bukowski guy just because I like the realism.
Well, if I had known.
Yeah. Oh,
I would have written a paper about Charles Bukowski.
Right.
And not fucking Burroughs.
Right,
What the fuck?
Drinking fucking Budweiser out of a can.
Yeah, I blame watching ministry.
That. Yeah. What can you do?
Nothing.
What can you fucking do, really? So at least you did. Well, you probably have read On the Road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Am I the only one that thinks that book's just terrible?
It's not all that, but it does, much like Reindeer Games, make you want to have pie and coffee.
Yeah, yeah. It does hit a point, though, where I was just like, what the fuck? So it's just... And I finally understood and agreed with what Truman Capote said about it. That's not writing, that's typewriting. Like... And if anyone,
you can't say anything to Truman Capote.
Yeah, it's like you're.
Oh yeah, you fucking.
You just said, "Oh, these people got this family got murdered, and I want to write a book about it." And it's the greatest crime book ever fucking written. It's so goddamn good.
You don't know shit about that subject,
yeah.
And you don't know shit about the South, Flannery O'Connor.
Yeah.
So fuck. No, I'm sorry, I can't even finish that.
Yeah.
That's what you get. That's what I get. Man.
But what's so weird about that is going back and looking at like the movie Capote. It's Capote. So hard to say Capote by itself without it sounding weird. How like Harper Lee was just hanging out with them and wrote To Kill a Mockingbird while he was writing In Cold Blood. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's two fucking masterworks at the same time. And I've checked out other Capote stuff and it's the book Breakfast at Tiffany's is fantastic. Mm. He definitely has a way with the words.
That is a fact.
Yeah. That I'm going
that is fact.
I'm going out on a limb here. That Truman Capote.
He's all right.
He can write.
So you know.
Gambling is I just slipped into out of shape, in shape guy from the 50s. He can write. Have you got a problem with that? Oh man. But yes, I have 2 days, then 3-day weekend,
mm-hmm.
4 days, then 4 half days, and then dunzo.
Nice.
And then the moving begins.
And then the moving.
And then I've got like a week, and then I've got to go to like something at ACC. Then I get to go to fucking Nashville for a week for a conference, totally paid for. So yeah, I get to hang out in Nashville, then come back and finish moving and... I got to tell you right now, the most goddamn depressing thing, and you went through this for a little while. We're going through it on a much longer scale. We go up to the house. We do shit. We kind of get stuff together, and we're like, God, this place is so great. We love it. Oh,
then you have to leave.
Now let's go.
Oh, yes.
Back to my apartment that I hate.
Yes.
And it's funny because I was fine with my apartment. Fine with it until the minute that I decided to buy a house, and then I'm like, I don't like this place. Then I bought the house, and now I'm like... Oh, fuck this shithole.
I'm living in a pile of feces.
Yes, I am
human feces.
I am in hell.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, I'm talking about that. Damn, Buffy's giving me that what look like.
I'll cut you.
Think you sexy,
Skirty.
Security. Oh God. But yeah, so my office is so close to being done. Just finding that table. If I knew somebody who could make shit, like could carpet
table makers,
I might know a guy. But yeah, I want to get a fucking nice solid wood table.
Well, there's always that Amish store.
There's an Amish store?
They sell Amish furniture.
Where?
Somewhere in town. There's also one in New Braunfels, right next to Cooper's. So you can get ribs. And then get yourself a giant wooden table.
I imagine those Amish strike me as some price gouging motherfuckers.
I would think so. They'd probably come out as a nice, reasonable price. Uh-huh. But the time it gets to us English.
Oh, yes. Well, and then I'd have to find a way of getting it up here. Oh, it's just a bother.
What I'm saying is I don't want a table at all.
Yeah. I want somebody to just bring a table to my
That's
house.
That's what I want.
And let me judge it. I went to I went to IKEA when I was buying my... Mm-hmm. Dresser. I thought I'd look for a table there. And IKEA has this beautifully deceptive thing where you see a table, you're like, that looks cool. That looks like one of the... Then you touch it and you're like, oh wow.
Yeah.
This table weighs 3 pounds.
Yes.
Hmm.
Say a table, though. You could take it home. Good, it's good, it's fine.
You can eat your dinners off of it. You can
sit there and stare at the wall.
Yeah, you know.
It's very good for staring at walls.
It's very nice.
Eat meatballs while you stare at the wall.
They're good.
Very complicated way of putting on the legs.
Yeah, there is. There always is, damn it.
Just as very simple, just write down the number, go into the, follow the little path to the biggest room in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The warehouse 13.
It is.
Of fucking
it
furniture.
Absolutely is. And it kills me because going to IKEA it's your day.
Oh, every fucking bit of it.
Because getting through that motherfucker is just,
Let's say you've made some large furniture purchases and you're on your way to warehouse 13.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get you in housewares.
Oh, yeah.
You think you're done. Oh, you might even want to take those little shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not if you're wearing one of these rings.
Nope.
Housewares. Well, of course, I stop at kitchen just to look long enough for other eyes to look towards plates.
Yeah.
What about this? And what about that? There's not a problem with that. I don't care. The problem is spending all the fucking money.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in fairness, at least it's cheap.
Oh, certainly.
That's
but
the
you
definite
wind
plus.
Up with fucking baskets of it.
Right. Yeah. 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 That's
candles.
True.
I need that.
I do buy candles. I used to light my apartment by candles when I would just sit and play video games.
Romantic pot pie evening.
Hashtag romantic pot pie.
Hashtag bring back our pot pies. Bring back my pot pie.
Careless Whispers. Jesus.
Indeed.
God, that song
Thank you, random iTunes buttons.
That song was just on a... What? I need some more, please.
No, my little old dog looks just like Dobby.
It really does.
It was an honor to be scratched on the chin.
Now go away.
It's a good place to be with friends.
So anyway, yes. Italians.
Italians, yeah. Speaking of, your wife is Italian.
Yes, Sicilian to be exact.
Likes plates.
Yep.
And so there we go. Italian movies. Italian monster movies. There's I'm gonna start out here and then go into the Odyssey. Ah, The Sopranos, really, that... Honestly, the more I'm looking at it, that might be the show that kind of started pushing us more towards serialized.
Yeah, well, probably so.
And here's the thing. I've not watched all of it. I've got through a couple seasons, but I'm the guy who got taken out of it by a lot of the psychotherapy stuff, especially when there were a couple of dream analyses scenes. And that was back during my hardcore, not even close to being diagnosed with apnea thing. Anytime someone goes off on describing a dream in a show, I'm just like, bullshit.
That is horseshit.
That alone made me be like, no, can't deal with this, no. And I will say I liked it because it does more of the Donnie Brasco thing where people forget that the mobsters are not the fancy suit wearing, you know, they are not Vito and Michael Corleone.
No.
They are Donnie Brasco. They are Tony Soprano.
Mean Streets.
Yeah, Mean Streets, exactly. That shit that hits a far more realistic look at it, where these are guys, they're making money, they're earning, but it's not. They are not the buckets of cash to throw around at folks.
Right.
You know, they
got a little lower on the pecking order.
Yes, yes.
Would be the argument, I guess, from the Godfather point of view. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with upper echelons of the five families, so
right.
They're dealing with bigger things.
Yeah, yeah.
Than, you know, what truck heist are we going to knock off? They're like, we're going to knock off that truck heist. You take care of that.
Right, right.
Knock off a truck heist?
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to sit here and let you dig.
Fatality. Yeah.
Nice. But no, The Sopranos was one that I kind of got into, but then it got into that whole, like, it's the poster movie thing. It's the Scarface. It's the, you know, Clockwork Orange, where it hits a point where it's like, okay,
of its own success.
Yeah, I get it. But then they go into that romanticizing of it, and I'm just, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I watched faithfully for about 3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the show. I just didn't have,
right.
I didn't have all the avenues to watch content like I do
right,
now.
Right.
If I had, I probably would have finished it.
Speaking of avenues, did you hear what neighborhood just got U-verse added to it?
Yo's?
Yeah! So I'm going to be able to keep my U-verse with me.
They just bought Dish Network, too, so.
Oh, nice. So we'll get that fancy Dish whatever.
Not really.
I don't even know what that means, but yeah, so... yeah, Sopranos was one of the challenging ones because I liked it, but I was never in that camp of this is the greatest show ever.
No.
Even though so many people were. I mean, people were just fucking on that show's jock.
I mean, it's a really good show.
It is, yeah, totally.
Maybe it's just not my favorite subject matter, so I couldn't get that crazy into it. It's very good.
If they did like a Depotted show.
I could buy it
because, you know, yeah, why not? Why not?
You fuckers!
Yeah, you fucking hot cock.
You goddamn motherfuckers.
But then that brings into Donnie Brasco, because that's the one I think of all the mob movies, you want to see the one that nails what, from what I have read, reality of what that shit's
stripped
like.
Down, bare bones, this is how it really happens.
Yeah.
That's how it pretty much looks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Working class guys making... a little extra.
Yeah, yeah. And what I love from that is how they talk about, Donnie, the guy did get made.
Yeah.
Like he got, and I love that they didn't show it. They didn't mention it except one line. When Pacino introduces him, it was either Pacino or Madsen introduces him as a friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their code. If someone introduces a friend, that means if it's a friend of ours, that means they're made. Like, holy shit, they didn't even fucking mention that. Like,
yeah.
But that was one where, it reminds me, there's this really cool movie that came out back in the day called Citizen X.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the hunt for, I forget what the guy's name is, but he was this child-killing serial killer in Russia.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it went in really in-depth into the catching him and mm-hmm. when they finally got him. And the detective who was in charge of it, speaking to people, you know, in other countries, like, yeah, we heard about that. It's amazing that you did it. And I was like, how long were you on the case? He was like, the whole time. They're like, what do you mean? Like, the 8 years I was primary on the case the entire time. And they were like, are you fucking kidding? We cycle detectives on and off those things just because it's too much.
Nope.
And he's like, oh, okay. And you look at what happens to Johnny Depp's character when he becomes that fucking guy.
Yeah, by the time he comes back and has that exchange with his wife.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Fully transformed.
Mm-hmm. How could you not be? I mean, God, think about the way that those guys live. They work, but it's a different type of work than what we call work. They make more money, and anyone fucks with them and their whole group just throws a goddamn stomping on them. Like in the fucking Japanese restaurant. I'm not taking my fucking shoes off. My father got fucking shot by one of these fucking people. Like, and then sorry you got the shit kicked out of you, man. But it was kind of like there was an episode of The Sopranos when Christopher had just gotten made, and so he was having to pay for everything.
Right.
And he fucking refused to pay a bill at one place and made Polly pay it. And then they're leaving, and the waiter comes in. He's like, was there something wrong with the service? I'm like, what do you mean? It was an $800 tab, and you tipped me $5. Did I do something? And then he's like, oh, fucking assholes, as he walked away. And they're like, what'd you say? And they beat the guy pretty much to death. Like, yeah, dude, you gotta learn to measure those things.
Yeah, you want to pick your battles if you're going to be a server in this particular area.
Yeah.
Maybe you're new to town.
Mm-hmm. Well, figure this out, son. Did you ever see the episode where Christopher got his, they did the intervention?
Yes.
You fucking whore. Polly Walnuts, and they just stomped the shit out of him. Like, yeah, it's about right.
You don't talk that way.
Yeah, to your mama. Not your mama.
But yes, Donnie Brasco was very much the stripped down... Even more stripped down than Goodfellas towards the end.
Yeah.
Goodfellas was getting that direction towards the end of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was much more stripped down. I say if Godfather 1 and 2 were an opera, then Goodfellas was a rock song.
Yes.
I think that's why people have a hard time, or not a hard time, but keep going back and forth as to which one's better.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both about as good as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
They're just singing different songs.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And you're right. That is, you know, the Godfather movies are an aria, and this is a, you know, fucking a hardcore jam. You know, just, wow, they nailed it. And
the MC5 of gangster films.
Exactly, yeah. The rhythms are even are more rock and roll than that. And goddamn, has there ever been a better use of Layla?
No.
And what I love is not even Layla itself, just the beautiful piano part at the end when they're discovering bodies all over the place.
Allman came in and wrote just because he was in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm going to write this. What do you think? Yeah, it's fine. Fucking prick.
Anytime that I hear Allman, all I can think of is like, what were the 70s like? Well, did a lot of drugs. Married some chick named Cher. Wouldn't recommend either. Fucking beautiful. But Goodfellas is just one of those that it's weird because it is really three different movies. There's him coming up, him making it, him falling down. It definitely is. And each one of them feels totally different.
Right.
But his, oh man, Scorsese nailed it with that.
That mid-movie, if we're going to talk about it in those terms.
Yeah.
That is the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything is going just right.
Yeah. Oh God. And then, of course, it's all what I love too is like any well-told story, the downfall is entirely their fault.
Oh, certainly, it's
one of those where it's like, no, you're the personality that it's sort of like Die Hard when Bonnie Bedelia looks up and she has that look on his face. It's like everything that made that man impossible to live with is what's going to save my life tonight. Right. You look at that as like everything that made these guys successful at what they do is going to be what makes them fall apart. And holy shit, if you want to talk about falling apart, find a Henry Hill from the Stern Show interview.
Oh, man.
Holy Christ, that guy is a fucking train wreck. Like, when they brought him in the early days of the studio, they had a bar set up in the studio in like the very early
days. The Jägermeister thing.
Yeah, and literally they were like, he could not take his eyes off of it. When he walked in, he's literally was just sitting there staring at it. And Howard was like, well, this is dangerous. This does not end well. But again, you're that big a fuck up.
They didn't bother killing
him. With you. Like, yeah. I know that's the thing right now. The guy is out of fucking out of protective custody. And they're just like, oh dude, killing this fucking guy is doing him a favor.
Apparently they're having a harder time than worrying about Hill.
Yeah.
It's a strange new world.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Like, well, we got to get our shit together to get money back in the system before we can worry about this wreck.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I still maintain killing him is doing him a favor. So
yeah.
And speaking of witness protection, My Blue Heaven technically does count as an Italian mafia film.
I suppose.
Steve Martin, arugula, it's a vegetable. It was great because for my mom was like, his accent is just terrible. And I'm like, yes, it is. But for this movie, it's perfect because he is a caricature of all of that.
Yes.
And perfect at it. Fantastic at it.
That's one of those films I avoided for a long time. And finally just watched flipping past on cable.
Like, yeah. It's all right. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
But I will say, we mentioned Mean Streets as well. Yes. I think that needs to be discussed because Mean Streets nails the savage brutality of it. More, I think, than any of the others.
I agree.
That one nails the...
It feels more dangerous than the rest of it.
These people are violent professionally.
Yes.
And you don't just get to leave that behind at the end of the day. That is...
It's that kind of bad lieutenant ugliness.
Yeah.
Like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, so that's what you have to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What needs...
And there is no break.
Nope.
There's no coming home at the end of the day and putting your feet up.
Yeah.
It's all this, all the time, and everything around it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you find a group of guys that will give you even a sense of security, it's the people around that world that just drag you through shit.
Mm-hmm. When you are in a world of shit. Something Malcolm Gladwell mentioned in one of his books. There's like an old Asian proverb that says, to a fly in horseradish, the whole world is horseradish.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you are in that, you know, it's the Pacino in Heat when he's like, there was a crackhead put a baby in the microwave because it wouldn't stop crying. Now let's share that. And I haven't talked about it. Maybe you and I could come together more.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I could do Pacino that well.
You can't because you're not getting paid to do it.
It's not a good Pacino.
Consider a song like Slap a Hole, which you mentioned by the group Dub Shack, which touts the virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
Now, I'm not saying that my Pacino was good. I'm saying I didn't know that I could do one that good. I'm saying, wow, mine sucks, but it's so much better than I thought it was going to be. I am Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. You have to announce the character. That's how I do mine.
Yeah, how do people
Gregory Peck. And you're, are you Gregory Peck? Yeah. That doesn't sound a fucking thing like Gregory Peck.
Nope.
I said Gregory Peck.
Gregory
Peck. Sam Cox.
Cut him with knives.
That's Stephen. There is not even the hint of that kind of inflection in that film. I don't even think he says that line. It's just a boy. He says that.
Yeah.
But everything else. That's it.
Yeah. Then you just go a little spastic on it.
A little. Apparently, The Omen is coming to television.
Oh, really?
A series.
Yes. As is fucking Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby. Yeah. It's a miniseries, I believe.
God.
That's odd.
It's that shit where, again,
very odd.
Well, this is done well, therefore that means people like that. It's
you know that movie, Rosemary's Baby? It was really good. How about we fuck it up with a miniseries?
Chris Hardwick nailed it perfectly on one thing, which is like The Simpsons hits TV, and it's fucking huge. And what the networks take away from that is animated shows where the characters are yellow. That's what people want. Like, once again.
No.
Something doesn't suck. Oh, man. But yes, that
happened. Once Upon a Time in America is on my list.
It should be.
It should be. But I didn't put these in the order, had I?
We haven't done order in forever.
No.
We haven't done order in like 150 episodes.
I would put this one low. Not because of how it's made. Uh-huh. Just in how it makes me feel.
Well, that's one where I honestly, if there was one scene removed from it, it would be damn near tops on my list. But it's a motherfucker of a scene.
It is. And it really makes it hard to...
Yeah, because it's this...
Give a shit about anything.
Yeah, it's this beautifully made Sergio Leone epic. And it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is going along well. You are totally wrapped up and engaged in this amazing story. And then the protagonist rapes a woman that you, as a viewer, have known since she was a child.
Yeah.
And I got into an argument with a friend of mine about it. He's like, no, they're trying to show that all he understands is the brutality. Because I'm like, yes, I don't care.
No.
But no, because all you got, because of prison and this and that. I'm like, yes, I don't care. What you're telling me is he has an excuse for doing something I deem inexcusable.
Give the audience someone to root for.
Yeah.
Right, Kurt Vonnegut? Screw you, Vonnegut.
Yeah. I was actively against him from that moment on. I was just like, let him fucking die, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because like, I and it's funny because I use that example with, I used to use that with some of my creative writing classes where I was like, just make sure you don't do something like this. Make sure you keep blah, blah, blah. And I tell them that story and I'm like, here's the thing. You can have somebody kill someone in a movie and I'll be like, okay, I get it. You know, had to protect someone. I steal some shit. Okay, I can see there might be a reason for that. There's never a time when it's like, if he hadn't raped her, then my God, the terrible things that would have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not there. That doesn't exist. No. Yeah, it's inexcusable.
It's just not
And
it's
a fucking shame because the rest of that movie is so goddamn good.
It is beautiful.
Uh-huh. It really is. And I mean, the way it starts them out with their kids, just getting like, I get that they are the product of that environment, and just trying to imagine living in that environment, holy shit.
I cannot.
I mean, it's for real.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But that's a tough one to fucking discuss at all.
But it is very good.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Oh, it is. Since we mentioned, you know, let's get Godfather out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just
It's fucking whatever. Godfather. We've talked about it. Yeah,
the cinematographer Gordon Willis died at 82.
Uh-huh.
He was the cinematographer for The Godfather.
Yeah,
called Prince of Darkness because of his use of shadow.
Mm.
And brother,
yeah.
Well done.
Yes,
apparently he broke a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that.
It's funny how.
It's when I think of all the reasons why I think Godfather 1 is just what draws me in. It is that.
Yeah,
it's just so. Fucking gorgeous.
It is. It really is. I mean, God, the Don Corleone being shot is one of the look of that. And yes. Everything else aside, Fredo fumbling the gun, pa, pa, pa. Oh my God. Just the balance of all of it is so fucking nice.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And that nails it. I mean, there are those movies that you look at and you just, wow. That's what
every
a fucking
time.
Movie is supposed to look like.
And when someone says, well, that was a really good movie, and it's always measuring it against something better in my head.
Right.
And for someone who's not nearly a big cinephile as many of you listeners are,
yes,
that keeps going back in my head. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, does it draw me in like Godfather? Regardless of whatever I'm doing, I'll stop.
Right.
Uh-huh. And not watch the whole thing.
Yeah, but it'll have your attention.
But if it's the scene where he's getting together how we're going to get out of this whole situation with the Turk and the cop,
uh-huh.
and that slow pull into Michael's eyes,
mm-hmm.
I'm watching it. His face, not just his eyes.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
You gotta go.
God, that was so fucking good. Jesus. And it is, there is a Godfather video game.
Uh-huh.
I play as a lot of fucking fun. Really is a lot of goddamn fun. I from what I understand, the second one, not so much. But it was just cool because it was that world of, you know.
My question about the Godfather video game.
Uh-huh.
Does Clemenza teach you how to cook?
No, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Barbaric.
It is barbaric. It's mm-hmm. horrifying. Oh, that was good. Just the little bit, the little, you know. No, you know.
Sausage, meatballs. Yeah.
And I will say.
Oh, I love you so much.
I gotta find the. I gotta find it for you so you can see the Robert De Niro audition for Sonny. And Coppola.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We'll keep you in mind, but I don't think this is the right role for you.
Yeah. Coppola puts it, it was the best audition I ever saw, but he was too fucking scary to be Sonny.
No.
It was like, Sonny's got to charm you.
Yeah.
Didn't he? He's like, we'll bring you back in. We will.
It's such a good performance by James Caan that I think collectively the world considers him to be that guy.
Yeah.
Just
be
cool.
Uh-huh.
Be cool, James. That's what I want to say around James Caan.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what movie it is.
Uh-huh.
It could be Elf.
Yeah.
Like, all right, everyone
that's,
just calm
it's cool, man.
We're
cool.
Good. We're good. We're fine. Yeah. Just going to reach in my pocket and grab some Chiclets.
Yeah.
This scum.
That's it.
That's all it is.
Would you like some?
Jimmy? Can I call you Jimmy? No, I can't call you Jimmy.
Okay. Mr. Caan.
Mr. Caan?
Yes. Can I just call you Caan?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. His performance is so great. And it's still, as somebody with a sister... When he beats Carlo's ass.
Oh, not nearly enough.
Nowhere near.
That's why the end is so satisfying.
Yeah.
Hello, Carlo.
Hello. Carlo. When he fucking throws the stick at him, and he's just beating him with a garbage can, biting his hands up.
That is the most realistic fight in the history of fights.
Yeah. He throws him over the fucking rail.
Or beatdowns. Like, it's not much of a fight. The fight of all fights is They Live, as we know, over sunglasses.
Yeah. I just love the look on his face when he shows up. It's like, oh, fuck.
I gotta get out of here.
The one I can't reason with. Oh, shit.
Ugh.
And he just points at it. Oh, yeah.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, in the fucking book, they go so much more in depth into that. Mm-hmm. And how the Corleone's idea was, it was a very old school Italian thing where it's like, well, you're his wife. That's none of our business. It's yours. And, you know, the line, Mama, Dad never hit you. And she says, I never gave him a reason to. Holy Christ.
I believe Mama in the movie just says, don't interfere.
Yeah, don't interfere.
Whatever's going on, don't interfere.
Mm-hmm.
That has a nice correlation with we Irish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nope, don't talk about it.
Yeah, nope.
We should go help them. That doesn't happen. That happens in some kind of Anglo-Saxon Protestant world.
Right.
I don't think those people are living the way that they should.
Yeah.
I want to go over there and have a talk so we can build a bridge. No, 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 no.
Well,
no,
it's
no.
The John Mulaney in his stand-up does this whole bit about what the Irish are like. So, the boy is dead. Bury the boy. Bury the boy. The boy is dead. Yes. And, yes, that's it. But then it goes back to the thing in The Sopranos.
Unless you're beating that kid in public.
Oh, yeah. Then it's another fucking story.
Or wife in public.
Yeah. Then shit gets real. No. It goes back to the thing from The Sopranos. How bad did you want Malfi to tell Tony about the guy that raped her? Because holy shit, what would have happened to that? Holy shit, what would have happened to that guy?
In a few episodes of pain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing that I like is the when it gets into that kind of, that's when the real fucking Irish Scott, the Scott in me comes out when it's like, oh, he fucked with your sister. And now, son of a bitch must pay.
Yeah.
And oh Lord, will he ever pay? It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then Godfather 2 is, that's one where I just shake my head every time I look at it. It's so, what the fuck, really? Wow.
Just imagine the pressure of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What am I going to do now?
Who's
that De Niro kid?
Yeah. How about I hit the ball farther?
I think I'll do this.
Yeah. Let's crush it. Just tear the cover out. Yeah, that way we're good here. We're good here. The boy's dead, Barry.
It's so good.
And just the little things where you see this is where his fucking power comes from, how it shows you the building where it's like, she was laughing. She was having a good time. This girl doesn't have any family. No one cares about her.
All we have is a relationship with you and me.
Yeah. Just fucking hell.
Duvall.
Yeah. Duvall gets overlooked so much. Actually, I'm going to step back.
The thing
he
does with his hands.
Mm-hmm.
She has no family. No one knows her. No one knows she's here.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like she never existed.
Yeah.
With that cigar in his hand.
Yep.
It's the little things.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, though, like, it's weird. Everyone always talks about Pacino, De Niro, Brando, and Duvall in those movies. And most folks tend to leave out fucking Cazale.
Yeah. Yeah.
That dude, fuck. John Cazale is one that I shake my head every time. Like, that is the perfect set. That would be like you go to see your favorite band in concert, they play your five absolute favorite songs. They sound just like they do on the album. they play your five favorite songs, walk off the stage, and that's it.
It takes an incredible amount of work to walk onto a set and do it as if you were born to do it, like Cazale does.
Yes.
Or did.
Yeah, he really...
Because it just looked seamless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he does that. I've always talked about my problem with awards for acting is it tends to be for quantity of acting rather than quality.
Yes.
And he did... The scene where he's on the boat with Michael's son.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I said a Hail Mary, I caught a fish. It's so perfect because it's so small and it's so intimate. And it's just, God, yes, that is what that conversation would be.
We've mentioned it many times before, but the drink scene with the pina colada with his brother.
Yeah. How do you say banana daiquiri in Spanish?
Banana daiquiri.
And what I love about that is that's Pacino's best acting. The way he's sitting there just looking at his brother, just like
smiling.
God, and it's a genuine joy. I've never seen my brother this happy.
Ever, just having club soda because I have to remain in control.
Yeah.
Sit there and smoke my cigarettes like I'm making love to him.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes it hard. Makes it hard. Not as hard as fucking McConaughey and True Detective.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Fuck you, Matthew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck.
He's sitting there fucking.
Sure is good.
Making the beer can beer man just. You see, there's a picture, there's a series of photos online where of people taking pictures of Matthew McConaughey in like one of those balconies in the French Quarter in New Orleans, and like his whoever's with him points across and look over and Brad Pitt is on the other side of the street and throws him a beer across the street.
Nice. Like,
that's awesome.
That is awesome.
I can get down with that. I can get down with that,
get
sir.
Down verbally, don't you?
Yes. All the time. Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Here you go, Brad. Big fun on the motherfucking bayou. Oh, and yeah. Steve.
That shit, though, Cazale does not get the adoration. Because there are people who know him and love his work, but it's not enough people. I mean, shit, he, you know, Godfather 2, Dog Day Afternoon, The Conversation, Deer Hunter. And then he dropped the mic, and just rode off into the sunset. And
I'm done with this.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. I'm smart, not like everybody says.
I'm smart.
It should have been my turn. No, Fredo. No. Oh man. Oh, the only thing that gets me is they couldn't. The book.
Oh, go ahead.
The book made. Waltz, the studio head, it made it a whole lot easier for you to want bad shit to happen to him.
I kind of wanted bad shit to happen to him anyway.
Yeah, but they removed the whole pedophile thing from it.
Oh.
Yeah, where like the mother taking her young daughter to his place, and it basically was just he'd gotten bored. Like, this is just something he's doing now because, oh, it's just, it was boring with women and stuff. So, yeah, it really made
Olive
you want...
Olive oil voice and his guinea charm.
Yeah. Until you! That's actually my best
my
impression.
My friend.
Just to know that it wasn't all business. The best piece of ass I've ever had in my life. And I've had them all!
Over the world!
Yeah. Oh, man.
But I tell you didn't get enough adoration.
Mm-hmm.
Is the bodyguard from Godfather 2, the guy all in black, just slinking around.
Right, yeah.
Just kind of give him the little nose, someone's going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, I just realized my brother betrayed me. Look back up. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great to have that kind of major domo in your world you don't have to communicate with other than just a nod.
Uh-huh.
When I nod this way, that means kill a village.
Yeah. Just take them all out. Okay, no problem.
Choke that guy with a clothes hanger. Mm-hmm. Why clothes hanger? I don't know.
Sends a message.
Yeah.
Sends a good message. Yeah, there are folks who do get criminally overlooked. Actually, to me, my favorite overlooked mobster role is in Miller's Crossing when the guys explain, see, hot makes it expand. This makes it contract so that you get a better shape. Yeah. And then he leaves a car. Ain't it the life, though? Like, yep, I drive around a gangster and get goddamn lectured about why I should rinse my blade with cold water instead of hot.
Little things.
It's the smaller pleasures in life.
And the power of Abe Vigoda.
Oh, dude.
Godfather, too.
Fucking love Abe Vigoda.
Can you get me out of this, Mike?
I would, thanks. No.
Not this time, Sally.
Not this time, Sally.
It's a group of people just whisk him away into eternity.
Yep. Going to be gone forever. Drop the gun, take the cannoli. Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Bye-bye.
How well they can make you vanish. That shot, though, the leave the gun, take the cannoli, I love that because you always see the Statue of Liberty in context of the city and don't realize, no, there's some like not as developed areas around there where you
still
can
are.
Have a fucking field of wheat right there. Just, there's the...
You go just a little skosh up to upstate New York and you're in cattle country.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's really good. Tis. Casino gets overlooked, I think.
Casino, yeah. Well, it was one where it came out right on the heels of Goodfellas, and it committed the unforgivable sin of not being Goodfellas.
But it's so good.
It really is. And I've only seen it once, and does not Tom Smothers pop up in it?
He does.
In the gambling commission?
He does.
As does Rickles.
He does. Oh, Rickles. Rickles with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Want to see Don Rickles with a shotgun?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. You can in a casino. You can make that happen. Make that dream come true.
Make it so.
Right now.
It's,
hear me.
I'm telling you.
I like how they were like, okay, Pesci was kind of an unbalanced motherfucker in the last one. Let's push that a little bit further. Where's the fucking tough guy told my friend go fuck himself, huh? Little girl crying.
Charlie M, you make me do this to you for fucking Charlie M. I know the guy 40 years. I'm going to fucking whack him for you.
Yeah. Fucking nailed it.
He is amazing.
He really is.
Amazing in Casino. He's amazing in just damn. And he's amazing almost in fucking Gone Fishing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you.
Well, it's because he does the small shit. He does the best line from that.
Hands across his eyes and he's chewing on a toothpick, taking in exactly what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
Criminally.
My favorite line of Pesci's ever is he was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come over there. I'm going to crack you in your fucking head. And then I'm going to go to jail for 30 years. And when I get out, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to crack you in the fucking head again. Because I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking stupid or something.
Because I'm fucking crazy. Yeah. I don't care about jail.
Yeah. Oh, my.
For my fucking money. Oh, God.
And that fucking cornfield. Just, wow. So, yeah,
so that's what's going to happen, huh?
Yeah. And again, it goes back to that. You live this brutal fucking life. You know, you get on that roller coaster. You don't get to just say, I'm going to get off here and go live a comfortable life. It's you got to check out completely there, early on. And
it's right up there with Reservoir Dogs as far as the amount of smoking that goes on.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that particular movie, I don't know, 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
I got on a Jag where I'd watch it after my shift at the Mexican restaurant.
Ah.
Come in at all hours.
Yes.
Drink by myself. Mm-hmm. Smoke by myself with my dog.
Yeah.
And watch Casino.
That's good times.
Not really.
No.
Good times, but maybe the second time.
Right.
By the time around 10, you're,
this is
what am
it,
I doing?
This is
I'm only going to do this twice more.
Yeah. This is who I am now. De Niro's suits in that movie.
Oh, man.
Oh, good Lord. When he stands up from behind his desk and doesn't have pants on, and it's like, just doesn't want to get them creased. So,
yeah. Sure, why not?
There is something Vegas to me, no matter how classy or family friendly it gets, it will always be the big glasses, big Harry Carey glasses, and a tacky as fuck suit with no tie. Oh, God.
Faith Rothstein in those giant glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, Sharon Stone didn't get enough accolades
for
that
at
performance.
Oh, yeah. Well,
she's
everyone
a fucking terror, man.
Jimmy Woods.
Yeah.
I mean, that is another one of those where there's so many Scorsese movies that you look at and it's like, okay, at what point do I get to stop talking about the great performances in it?
Yeah.
Fucking Wolf of Wall Street had just performances out the ass. Fucking Paul Sorvino in Goodfellas. Talk about overlooked.
Hey, Paulie, you bumped your cherry.
If Paulie didn't move fast, it's because Paulie didn't have to move for anybody. Fuck yeah. Like, there's just... and Casino, who the fuck do you single out other than Bobby D? And Pesci... Oh, my God. Everyone's so fucking awesome in it. Yeah, the suits, the fucking look of it, just that's Vegas just charm, amazing. Baby. And that idea of people forget that somebody who knows how to handicap a game properly is worth their fucking weight in gold. Because you set the line on a game wrong, you cost people a whole lot of goddamn money.
Don't cheat in Vegas. That's what that film taught me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't play cards anyway. But did I?
Mm-hmm.
Had I played cards in Vegas, I'm not cheating.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to lose my ass like a guy from Texas in Vegas should.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's why the only game I ever played was poker because I've never played in a casino because I don't like playing against the house. The idea of this massive monolith on the other side of you where it's just a group of dudes playing.
Yeah,
and if I take your money, it's because... You put yourself in a position to give me your money. So
there you go.
So sorry, sir. So sorry. But
the fire rises.
Ow. Yeah, that though, Casino, I need to see it again because I think I've only seen it like maybe twice.
It's worth it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, Sharon Stone's one of those that, man, her fall from grace has been spectacular.
It really has.
Yeah. But
odd.
Yeah, very yeah. Odd. Very strange. Very strange. Makes no sense. Boy's dead, bury the boy. You need to watch John Mulaney's New in Town. I think you'll, or Back in Town. You'll laugh your ass off. I think you'll love it. It's beautifully put together.
I will check
stand up comedies.
I like comedies.
Yeah, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Assholes, that's who.
So, The Untouchables, certainly.
Yes.
Has Italian mobsters.
Yes. And in the original thing that we discussed with this, the first mobstery show that we did that got lost,
mm-hmm.
Oh, the dog's outside, so I can't mean mug her for no reason. It really wasn't the dog's fault, but these things occur. Bob Hoskins was originally lined up to play Capone in that, yep. And they ended up, De Palma ended up cutting him a check for like, you know, $20,000 or something like that. Like, thank you for... shit, you can sign me up for a part any day, dude. You're paying me and I don't have to do anything. Shit. But yeah, The Untouchables, I like the way they balance that shit and really hit the, you know, hit the points on that. Like how fucking stupid Prohibition was, for starters.
Man, that's the overall message.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a really bad idea.
Mm-hmm. I love what Chris Rock says. People do drugs because life fucking sucks. You could get rid of all drugs, literally remove them from the planet. You'd have people in their basement like, yo, check this out. You take a baby bottle, stick a dead lima bean in it, put about a half an inch of gasoline. You suck on that shit.
That's
fucked
true.
Up. No matter
what. We just like to alter our shit.
People figured out they could lick toads.
They didn't figure that out.
High.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
bored are you, first off, that you're trying licking the toad? And then hey, when you do, you're
South
like...
South America, they yeah. found, well, if I take this particular root with this particular bark and this particular thing here, put them together, I will see serpent gods.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Joe Rogan talking about, I want to try ayahuasca.
I want you to try ayahuasca yeah. on film.
Yes. You do? I have no interest in trying ayahuasca.
Hey, I don't give a shit. I want to see yeah, you do
it. I want to see him do it because that would be fucking amazing. That would be incredible to watch.
Be amazing. So amazing. Make that yeah. happen, Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if his show got picked up again.
I don't think so.
It's too bad.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was
you
interesting.
Know why he didn't get picked up? Mm. Because he started calling people out in their shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to be some, oh no, this you definitely found Bigfoot scat.
What?
You didn't just pick up human shit in a bag. You're carrying around presenting like it means shit. Something.
There's some other show like Finding Sasquatch or Finding Bigfoot or fucking Bigfoot or whatever the hell that show's
right.
called.
Uh-huh.
It's like three or four bearded hill folk in a ATV looking for the goat man of Kentucky or some bullshit. They hear sounds. They start going, blah, blah, blah. They hit a ravine and pop up. That... Goat man came up and smashed the window of my Ranger.
Okay,
whether it did or didn't, not the point. The point is that show got made and yeah. someone got a check.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like there was evidently the final, like the most recent season of Finding Bigfoot with Bobo.
Yes.
They went to like the...
And Tosh.
What?
The girl on the show?
Oh,
just like Tosh.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Damn.
Not a little bit.
A lot.
Yeah.
Entirely. They went to like Tibet looking for the like
oh,
the,
yes,
the Yeti
right.
or something. And Joel McHale was like, here's the thing. You could fly our entire show and it'll cost less. And we will find exactly the same number of Bigfoots or abominable Thanks. Snowmen. Find the exact same number as they do. Like mm-hmm. that fucking Bigfoot challenge hosted by Dean Cain. Like, yes. we'll give you $1 million. You can have, nobody gets it. Of course you fucking course.
It's fantastic.
Why don't you just
got to get on this?
I will allow whoever, like, seriously, they could have a show where a host goes out and goes, whoever finds definitive proof of Bigfoot's existence can murder me. And I'm totally okay with it. And your life is safe.
Killing for Bigfoot.
Yeah, killing for Bigfoot. Just
patent pending.
Yeah.
Along with Clarkson Campbell's Big Snipe Hunt.
It
coming
just
soon.
Goes to tell me that if Penn and Teller's bullshit had instead been, Penn and Teller, your bullshit is completely true, it would have been huge. Like, now let's talk about why people who, I don't know, what was a great one that we could
flip the other side. I don't know, but gave me a really good idea for a show, I believe. Nice. Or Ready to Believe You.
Yeah, Ready to Believe You. Oh, my God.
Patent pending.
Yeah.
Patent pending.
Holy shit.
We'll sue you into non-existence.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
It is recorded here. That means we hold the copyright.
You hear that?
I'll
give you another one. Fucker.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with me.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. That's what I'm talking about.
Just go to anything, any of that crazy horse shit.
Yeah.
Just buy in it completely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really?
Just see how far you can go down the hole and not be killed by a cult.
Yeah. Well, it's like watching Ghost Adventures now that it, like, that I've studied more like actual research methodology. Whenever they start going off, I'm like, you know why Hope likes to watch that show?
What?
One simple reason. She wants to know how the word debunk will be used this week.
Oh, dear.
We debunked this as not being... Wait. You just double negatived, sir.
Yes. Ghost Adventures.
Yeah. It's that thing
Our
has gotten...
credibility.
Yeah.
Your credibility is a fat fucking Maserati. So you're doing something right, son.
Yeah, exactly. I still remember when we started watching that shit in the middle of the night, and they'd run like five episodes of it in the middle of the night. We'd be like, God damn, I love this. Too bad it's not going to last.
They figured it out.
I still can say
to their credit, they figured out which side of their bread was buttered.
Yeah, the early on version of that show I liked when it was genuinely fucking creepy, when it was just three of them locked in a goddamn abandoned hotel in the middle of the night or a fucking abandoned hospital in the worst part of Los Angeles.
That was a whole Hot Topic army running around in these abandoned buildings.
When they were in fucking Farmington in an abandoned hospital looking for shit. Now it's, you know, hey, here's my demonware, my
dungeonware. Please.
Man, his outfits are spectacular.
They are.
But the thing is, his arms are not as...
Hey, man, you ain't got time to go to the gym when you're making all that paper.
That's true. That fool is pulling down some cash.
He should really buy that island.
Yeah, I'd buy an island. Mm-hmm. If I had Baggins money, I'd own an island.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man.
Sweet, sweet Baggins cash.
big sunglasses money.
Let that word resound.
That would be perfect. Just it would just you and I. I still wish that we would have been able to enter, that we would have entered that Do the Best Music Video contest. Because the way I, my remix of that song was fucking rad. And if we'd have gotten some good editing, and it was funny because a former student was like, no, I'll edit it. It'll be great. She loved the show. She used, her Facebook statuses used to be shit like, oh, snap, Zach Baggins is on. It was fucking fantastic.
Awesome.
But what we want, but what I thought would have been great is if we'd gotten on and done the original plan, which was just to dress like the Misfits and pose behind them the whole time.
Oh, that's right.
The whole plan was just like mesh shirts and like devil's point
fucking devil locks.
The devil locks and literally just pose everywhere.
What's the name of the band that he did that song with?
He did one with the Lords of Acid.
Lords of Acid.
That's the one that I sent you the certificate for on iTunes.
I'm looking for it now.
No, dude, I need to find my cut of that song because it was, you know, here I go into the night with nothing but a camera light.
Where the hell are you?
Oh, man. It is. Well, he's got these whole albums and shit now of a bunch of...
Well, Nick has a rap album, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't he? Come on, man.
That's what people want.
Yeah, you don't?
Really?
I'm trying... seriously...
Shit, I don't know where it is.
I've got to find my Ghost Adventures song remix because it's so good.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it really, for two total skeptics to go on a show where it's like, we are ready to believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk. Go
whatever.
Ahead.
And there's a lot of it out there, man.
Mm-hmm.
You could start with Austin Conspiracy Theory,
oh, yeah,
subcultures,
mm-hmm,
and you could probably have a career with just that.
We have a fairly heavy conspiracy theory culture in this town.
Oh, do we?
I mean, we are the city what had created Alex Jones.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, I remember listening to his fucking show back when watching his show when he was on Access.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Me
and
too.
He's from what I understand, nice guy. Sweet fucking
very nice
dude.
Guy.
Very cool. True believer.
As far as we can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy. But
he
yeah,
talked, that, he, if he even mentioned it, oh, I saw your show last night, Alex. Uh-huh. I'm going to remember. He just blew it off and he worked right next to me.
Yeah.
It was Didn't take much.
Right.
Hi, Alex. What would you like to drink?
Well, I'll tell you what I don't want to drink.
I don't want to drink any of these lies.
Yeah. There were some white SUVs outside. That's actually not
That's
a bad
dealership. One. That's a fleet.
That's a fleet dealership. No, it's no, next to a prison.
It's FEMA.
It's where they're going to take your children.
These great radio spots I've been hearing lately with a guy saying, oh, you need to watch this video. Every patriot's watching this video about FEMA's plot.
Oh.
And all I know is they must know something we don't know.
Well,
is it a plot? Or are they just sitting on information? Yeah. These are two different things.
Yes.
Well, and then a month or 2 months later after running this commercial, here comes his Krabby Sambo's survival food. Oh, wow. This is the answer to FEMA's plot. Let's buy my stuff. Well played, crazy man.
Nice.
Well played.
I remember around Y2K, that was the sweet spot to listen to Jones. Because he was... sponsored by some place that sold a bunch of survival gear, and the best thing they sold was the solar-powered George Foreman grill. Because, yes, because that's the problem after everything collapses, is keeping trim. I'm getting a little chubby, getting a little bit chubs here.
I like that it drains the fat off.
Yeah, you know, all that flavor, who needs it?
Mm-mm.
God.
Probably won't give a shit if you're in the middle of a nuclear winter.
Exactly.
Or in the middle of FEMA's plot.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, man. But yes, somehow that is where we ended up from, was it Casino?
The Untouchables.
The Untouchables, yeah. Makes as much sense as anything else. So yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I've seen on many lists that Bronx Tale is their number one.
That's a damn goddamn good movie. I don't know if I'd put it at number one, but that's a good fucking flick.
You saw this live?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I saw the one man show. Great, fantastic. Pomenteri just so into it. The way that the movie got made, beautiful, because it was his one man show. They were like, "Hey, we want to option it into a film. So here's X amount of money. No, here's $1 million for it. Well, will I have? No, we will take total ownership and control. Nope." Did it for much less money when De Niro offered to direct it because he knew De Niro would protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And that whole thing, that's one's great because it really gets the whole family idea of it.
Yeah.
Of, you know, this guy trying to find a son that he doesn't have. And
De Niro just, not playing the heavy.
Yeah, yeah. But and that by design, not playing the heavy.
Of course.
That was fantastic. And what I love is I actually used this multiple times, was his test. Where it's like, what you do is you lock both of the doors. You open her door for her, and when you walk around the back of your car, if she doesn't lean over and unlock the door so that it's open when you get there, she's a fucking pig, and you should, like, wow, just go right to that.
Wow.
Like, but the thing is, back in those days, before, you know, had the little button that unlocked it, that was a thing that you did to make sure, because women who wouldn't do that. You know,
that's pretty fucked up.
Questionable broad, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, she's
a fucking pig.
Not worth a domestic or an import. Not even a big flats. Perhaps a gold mine.
Ooh, we need to get some gold mine, don't we?
Probably.
Because I think believe that's a Sprouts thing.
I think the nearest we have to that is the
the one down by me that used to be the bookstore.
No, whatever it's called. Give us all your money, grocers over there by Target.
It's like the harvest moon.
Yeah, natural growth. Whatever the fuck.
Some shit like that. Yeah, when it's fucking...
I don't know. Places that doesn't sell big flats and cheeseburgers. That's what I know.
Exactly. And that's...
Barbaric.
I know.
That is barbaric as shit. As they sell the organic mac and cheese in a box.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. Oh, the bullshit of
as,
organics.
One person... my wife's office said, you know, you just eat more stuff that's greener and recycling. And she opened up a package of Amy's whatever vegan extravaganza pasta with plastic wrap and a plastic bowl.
Yeah.
With a plastic fork and whatever. Throws the whole works away. It's all wrapped in cardboard, too, before you get to the goodness.
And, Ooh.
Ooh. I had a stroke.
I have a delicious vegan burrito from Amy's.
Blow your fucking ears out over there.
Yeah.
As my wife has a meal that was prepared for her and she carries in reusable Tupperware. Well, just looking at her. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Green as grass you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let me ask this. Did her lunch come with a smug sense of superiority? A side of smug sense of superiority?
Oh, it did.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. Well, hey, that's all you can ask for, you know.
Superiority.
It's on the side, so lunch? If you don't want to use too much of it, you know, you get to choose how much you use. Some people don't like it on top. They like it over on the side so they can apply it themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a damn shame. Damn shame.
Oh, we cut our show in half last week, so this one's like, yeah, so Mafia.
Mafia, yeah. Because I thought there was going to be a glut of these. I thought
there are a lot of Mafia-related films, but just not true. Even The Untouchables is tenuous.
It's a tangentially Mafia movie. So. Yeah.
One's worth discussing.
Yes.
That's where I'm putting it. We missed a shit ton of non-mafia-related movies last time.
Yeah.
We didn't mention King of New York.
No.
Not once.
Nope.
That movie is fucking tits.
Yeah. Heat.
Heat. Yeah.
Which, that's some organized crime. What? No. No.
No, Beelzebub.
No. Thief.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit counts.
There's a ton of them.
There are.
But so there.
Yeah. The Sicilian with Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
There was a guy I used to know back in college who called him Christopher Slambert because he was in so many of those, like, Skinamax movies. Ooh, like, the greatest Chris Lambert statement ever. The MTV had that show. It was called, like, Diary or whatever, where they, like, followed a celebrity around. And they were following Chris Rock around, right, when he broke and he was getting huge. And they were at a Blockbuster Video. And he's getting something. He looks at the guy next to him and he goes, "You're buying a Christopher Lambert movie? Are you in it?" Like, oh, wow. That's immediately what you're like, wow. Hold on, this guy. Oh. First it was all like cacao, but then it was like cacao.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What the fuck is that?
God damn, I've been waiting for an hour to use that somehow.
What is that? It's just
it's in my big
your big old collection of
bullshit radio morning show sounds.
That was fantastic.
Just wackiness.
Yeah.
I can't get past.
Yeah.
Hey, there's all kinds of stuff in here. I'm a robot.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
Nice. That's some good shit, sir.
It is.
That.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it is good for me.
Oh, man. Do we have anything else to discuss this week? Okay. I think we're good. Do you?
I am.
You need some more muscle relaxants and...
I do. And kind of... To take.
And Hannibal. If you would like to be part of the Film Thugs, send an email to the Film Thugs at gmail.com.
Leroy.com.
Guns up, chums. Let's do this.
That's the drop I want. That's
part of it. It's just the way he runs. And it's funny because when you look at him, you see him shoot in the background like,
oh, God, what's he doing?
What the fuck? Oh, God damn it. Are you going to just see everybody getting fucking wrecked? I know it's 12 years old, but shit, it's good.
It is.
Oh, man. So the filmthugs at gmail.com. If you want to be part, we want to aim for it next week to do the Ask the Film. Okay. I'll send Hunter an email saying we're going to be doing this, but it's Ask the Film Thug Show. We will be answering questions without having heard them, seen them at all first. So that's going to be fun. Do you like t-shirts? Go to thefilmthugs.com and click on a link to go to T-Fury and buy cool shirts. Or buy some awesome workout equipment to get shredded and on it from onit.com.
Indeed.
And find one of the links for Amazon because you can buy anything. And these people pay us. You don't. You get it for the same price. They just kick a little cash our way. You can call us at 512-666-RANT. That's always fun. Or the _film_thugs on Skype. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. I don't know if there's anything else needs to be said.